If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake.
Adam Lepp!
Yes, that is I, Adam Lepp, the computer guy, the host of multiple programs and other indulgences here on WGH Talk Radio, where there's always a conversation happening. And once again, we are going to go west, young man and young woman, to the great potato-producing state of Idaho, and going to borrow one of Mr. Scott Spears' regular morning show participants, Mr. Calvin Williams, all of 22 years old, but don't let the age fool you. He comes across like he could be my older brother, which would make him pretty old, but that's okay. Just kind of keeps you guessing and makes it a little more fun. Again, Calvin Williams, he is a regular caller to the Scott Spears program, and he and I have been kind of chatting behind the scenes, and of course we gossip about everybody. So, you know, if you're listening and you're on the air here, you are probably someone we have gossiped about. We've even gossiped about ourselves, so don't feel left out at all. Now, Calvin, you were on during the last week's programs, and what did you think about your first radio appearance with Adam? And also, how does being on the Adam the Computer Guy mid-morning coffee break radio extravaganza compare to being on the Now with Scott Spears Interviewer to the Stars radio experience?
So, my first time being on the air with you, obviously, I never expected having the opportunity to do something like that, ever. I will say, obviously, my first time, I have some room to improve, because I was being pretty short, and just kind of giving short answers, because I didn't want to go down the rabbit hole and get too long-winded and then just talk for hours and run us out of our allotted time.
Right. Since the first program, it's closer to Easter, so going down a rabbit hole might be a little better, right?
Yeah. And then being on a call with you versus with Scott, I would say you and I, we can kind of hold a longer conversation between each other, but because our minds work more on the same way and we have a bit more in common.
Despite Scott basically being an age between your age and my age, a little closer to my age, but
yeah.
But that's okay. Age is, as they say, only a number. Now, for those who don't listen to Scott's show, and I'm not sure anybody would be in that category, or those who didn't listen to my program last week, and we're not going to spank you or anything, but listen to this program. Tell our listeners, Calvin, about yourself. We talked a lot about your job and your role with the union. Despite your youth, you have a very active role as a steward or shop steward or on-site union steward with your job. Tell us a little bit about that and a little bit about yourself, a quick biography, and also you're a native of Franklin County and the Columbus area. You're not just a native Idahoan, you didn't come out of the ground like a potato, like maybe some people do there,
nope.
But you actually are a person who originally hung your hat very close to where I hang my hat. So tell our listeners just a quick biography about yourself, if you don't mind.
Yep, so I guess, long story short, I was born, raised in Columbus, but my dad got a job out here in Lewiston, Idaho, which would obviously require him to transfer cross-country. And at the time, I was in no financial shape or form prepared to stay in Ohio and start out on my own. So can't beat them, join them. Change of scenery never hurts. And coming out here is definitely one of the better things that's happened to me, because I now work at the paper mill at probably one of the highest paying jobs that I could hold without any kind of college background. And then I'm also somehow trusted enough to be a union steward on top of that.
The union steward is fascinating. You aren't paid a lot. You are given a waiver of your union dues. So you are paid, although by the hour, it probably doesn't come to even minimum wage, but it's rewarding. And you help yourself out, because if someone you work with has a problem, and even a good thing to complain about or mention or a suggestion, it helps you out as a worker. It might even end up with a raise for everybody. It certainly makes a union look good. and you're with the steelworkers, a large union. So not everybody in the steelworkers, obviously, is a steelworker. You're more of a paper worker. But there isn't a paper workers union, right? The steelworkers, USW, they cover plants and industrial jobs in many different fields. What else do they cover, do you know, besides steel and paper?
So the United Steelworkers is technically the short name for it. The full name for the union is the United Steel, Paper and Forestry, Rubber Manufacturing, Energy, Allied Industrial and Service Workers International Union. But the United Steelworkers is the common name that they're known as.
Well, thank goodness they shortened that. It's kind of like a supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. So the paper and forestry, and many people, Calvin, including myself, and you see the license plates where it says famous potatoes. We know about Dan Quayle and his famous spelling of potato. Potatoes are a cash crop in Idaho. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But Idaho is known for a lot more than potatoes. First, it's a very scenic state, beautiful mountains and rivers, and as cities that are big enough where things are going on. Lewiston and Marion are similar size, and Boise is a rapidly growing capital city, a bit of an anchor city, I think, for a lot of the mountain northwest of the great United States. But forestry and paper, that is also a big industry in Idaho, right? It's not just potatoes. It's more diverse than that.
Yeah, so it's not just potatoes, and potatoes aren't even that big of a thing out here. It's more garbanzo beans, also known as chickpeas. Those are both the same thing. Wheat and canola. Canola is another big one out here. We have fields that seem to go on forever of canola plants.
Well, that's good to hear, because I am an aficionado of garbanzo beans and hummus, which is made from garbanzo beans. It's a delicious appetizer, just a full meal. Gotta love my pita bread and hummus, or hummus on a sandwich. So it's good that you live in an area where a food that I enjoy is harvested. One thing about the potatoes, Calvin, it's kind of like cheese. Restaurants and grocery stores advertise genuine Wisconsin cheese, and I'm wondering if you were in Wisconsin, would the cheese actually taste better? Now, of course, they have genuine Idaho potatoes. There's a brand called Idahoan. I think it's boxed mashed potatoes. Assuming that you are a potato eater, we haven't really discussed too much about eating preferences, but I'm assuming you have a potato once in a while. Do they taste better in Idaho that you are near where they're grown?
So I will say I do love French fries, especially fresh made ones from local owned restaurants. I like a baked potato here and there, but the overall quality and flavor of the potato out here versus living in Ohio, I can't say I've really noticed a difference.
Okay. Well, I would imagine when they're shipped from Idaho to Ohio, it doesn't take too long, and potatoes last several days. So wasn't sure, and figured I would ask you. As I would imagine, if I talked to someone in Wisconsin, I'm sure he or she would be quick to say, you can't beat the cheese out here. We are the cheese capital of the United States. So always an interesting sidelight.
We have some really good cheese here in Idaho, too. So I'm sure you've heard of the brand Tillamook. Well, they're a creamery, and the cheese factory isn't that far away from me. It's up in Oregon, I believe, is where they're based out of.
Do you think, Calvin, maybe they should change the license plates and no longer say famous potatoes? It seems like that's what they're known for. But obviously Idaho, although they are a potato-producing state, has a lot more than that. Or is it just kind of a marketing thing that isn't likely to go away? What if you were the person in charge of marketing the state of Idaho, maybe put a new license plate slogan on, a new Welcome to Idaho road sign. What do you think it should emphasize? I mean, should it be the beautiful mountains and river? Should it be the diversity? Should it be the paper mills? What are your thoughts on that?
So I wouldn't promote it on the paper mill, because a lot of local residents obviously complain about the smell from the paper mill, but workers of the paper mill, such as myself, we all joke and say that it smells like money. I would say the famous potatoes thing is here to stay, just because that it's almost like a stereotype. It's been established for so long. And I would almost say, like, the phrase beautiful mountains and rivers, that phrase almost makes you, would probably make most people think of Montana rather than Idaho.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest.
I like Utah. It says Ski Utah, greatest snow on earth. And, you know, I like puns and alliterations and rhymes. And you see snow and you think show. And then I think show. I think the Osmonds is a great, talented family. Wholesome.
Oh, yeah.
Musical group from Utah. So I like their slogan. And Utah certainly is a big state for skiing. I would imagine Idaho, being north of Utah, also has pretty good skiing. So many things. Many things.
Yeah, we have
the state is
we have a
for.
City out here in Idaho. We have a city out here in Idaho known as McCall that is pretty famous for skiing, and a lot of coworkers will go out there on their days off and they'll ski, they'll ride their snowmobiles, and just have a good time.
Are you a skier, Calvin? I kind of see you as someone who might occasionally enjoy the slopes.
No, I am not in any physical shape or mentally coordinated enough to do that.
When I was in high school, and
plus I don't really have the spare time to either.
Yeah, when I was in high school in Columbus, I joined the ski club. Then I moved northeast, went to college in northern New York, where skiing was a lot more common. But knowing me, always trying to be different, I was more into skiing when I was in junior high school and younger, living in the Columbus area, skiing near Mansfield or near Dayton. So, but either way, for those who do like to ski, Idaho would not be a bad choice for a vacation. Speaking to Mr. Calvin Williams, a Columbus area native now living in western Idaho in Lewiston. He is working at a paper mill, and he is also the union steward there, handling complaints, suggestions, and other liaison. It's a liaison type of job between the union, management, and, of course, his fellow workers. Now, Calvin, you are a man who has many things he can talk about, opinions and facts and tidbits, and like we're pretty similar in that regard. So let me just ask you the old open-ended question. What was the first topic you'd like to talk about today on the Adam the Computer Guy radio extravaganza mid-morning coffee, tea, or me break?
So I was going to say, we've talked quite a bit about vehicles, and I know that you are particularly a fan of hybrids and EVs.
Yes, I do like.
Meanwhile, myself, I'm kind of known for driving gas-guzzling land yachts, as some people would put it. So I was curious, being a guy with a background in science and computers, do you almost feel obligated to drive the hybrid or EV, or is that just what you like?
It's probably more that the gas mileage is better. I am certainly an environmentally oriented person, and I love the old Cadillacs and Buicks and Lincolns. I mean, you own the road with them. They're great in all kinds of terrain.
Oh, yeah.
And they're as comfortable, if not more, than a Lazy Boy in your living room. And they look cool. Nowadays, Calvin, all cars look the same. And I'm guilty many times. Maybe I'm just ditzy, but you look, especially at the back of a car. You look at a parking lot. There are lots of white four-door hatchbacks that look the same as my car. And many times I have accidentally tried to get into the wrong car till I realize, well, that's not my Hyundai. That's a Honda or Toyota or Nissan. It kind of looks the same. But if you have an old Cadillac Coupe de Ville, an old Lincoln Continental, an older Ford Mustang before they redid it, a Camaro, you'll know exactly which car you have. Even the Mercedes,
yeah,
and the Audis, even the Rolls Royces, as much as they cost, they're starting to look like the other aerodynamic cars. And I understand they get better mileage. They have many great safety features and the ability to be efficient. But they just all look the same, and they don't really have the character that the older cars do. Now, the original Chevettes and Ford Pintos, of course, they rusted a lot, and they had their own problems. But they still got pretty good gas mileage. Cars got 30, 40-plus miles per gallon when when the economy cars first came out, especially the Toyotas, the Toyota Tercel and the Corolla, those models from 40 years ago, they still got great mileage. They weren't as slick technologically as the current models, obviously, but they were still good quality cars, and they did have character. So you're kind of trading off some of the coolness for the reliability, the aerodynamics, and the mileage. Yeah, I do like that my car gets 50, 60 miles per gallon. It is very comfortable, the seats. They call them premium cloth. To me, they're just regular, cheap, generic car cloth. Car's reliable. People have complimented me on the comfort and the handling. You know, I put in 10 gallons of gas. It goes 550 miles. It stops well. The Sirius XM radio or the Bluetooth connected to WGH Talk always sounds good. So I think it is a quality vehicle, but we've lost a lot of the character. So kind of have to decide which of those you want to do. So hopefully that's answered.
Yeah, I will say, a lot of cars nowadays do all look the same. And I kind of chalk that up to the aerodynamics and the safety standards that they have to meet. And then I think a lot of it also has to do with badge engineering. Like a lot of Chevrolets and Buicks these days are just rebadged Opals. And there's a lot of parts sharing and partnerships even between different manufacturers anymore. And that leads to a lot of the similarities for sure.
Just like with computers, it's more the labeling and the service, the warranty, the parts are made by a lot of the same companies. And people will ask me, Calvin, what brand should I buy? And I'll kind of sound like my father when somebody would ask him, what brand are you going to buy? He'd say, what brand's on sale? So I would say the same thing. So get whatever's on sale, Dell, Lenovo, Asus, HP. There's not a tremendous difference. A lot of the parts are made by the same companies. It's how they back up the product. Again, the pricing, and your ability to troubleshoot any
of that actually brings up an old memory for me. So you know how HP with their computers, a lot of them have their own proprietary motherboard that they designed in house.
Yes, and Dell also has that with the special power supply that we've talked about. Not just the ATX or parts that you can buy pretty much for universal fit, definitely.
Yeah, so that reminds me, I had an old HP desktop probably around 2007. It had an Athlon 2 and Windows Vista, and I had taken the side cover off of it to replace the cooling fan, I believe, because the bearings were starting to get loud. And I noticed that this HP actually had an Asus motherboard in it from the factory, but it had a custom firmware on it so that it would show the HP splash screen when you power it on.
Yeah, you never quite know, do you? The part sharing and the firmware, the software, as long as the thing works, and if you do have to service it, that the parts are attainable in some fashion, and that A will fit into B. And that's all part of technology, isn't it? Adam here with Mr. Calvin Williams, a Columbus native who calls Scott's program frequently, now living in western Idaho, which we are learning is not just known for potatoes. Potatoes, yes, but many, many other things. Now, again, Calvin, as you're a man with many interests and opinions, I'm going to let our listeners know we are going to touch on a controversial topic during this show, because it's fun to do that. It's good to stir the pot. And one of the controversial topics we're going to choose will be either transgender women playing women's sports, or we'll talk about, yes, COVID. If you guessed COVID, you're right. So those are two topics where my opinions are well established, and my opinions are strong because I feel they are important issues, and you and I pretty much agree almost totally on both of them. So we're going to save probably 5, 10, 11, 12 minutes to talk about those topics, because it's fun to talk about controversial topics and it's fun to stir the pot. Let people know if you don't agree with my opinion or you have a question, comment, suggestion, complaint, or just want to say, hi, Adam, how are you doing? I love your show. It's great when I go to the bathroom. Well, that's fine. whatever turns you on, whatever you need to do while you're occupying your day. Radio certainly does fill that void. Adam at WWGH1071.com. Before I invite you, Calvin, to provide another wild card topic for our listeners, let's talk about your old school stereo, that you have equipment that would be popular in the 80s, which when I went to college. In fact, I think you have an Onkyo product, and that was the same brand that I used in college, and it's an excellent brand without costing ridiculous amounts of money like some of the other fancy premium brands. Tell us about your old-fashioned home stereo and what piqued your interest in this, and do you believe, as I do, that nothing beats the quality of analog music versus the digital that we're pretty much used to now?
So the stereo that I have, it's an Onkyo TX4500 from 1977. I bought it at a garage sale for $10 when I was in fourth grade. So this would have been, I believe, 2011, 2012, sometime around there. And at that time, I wasn't particularly interested in radio yet. I seen it at a garage sale, and I'm like, this thing looks cool. This thing is huge. I want it. And since then, I still have it to this day, and it outperforms many of my much newer receivers in every category. It's quite literally my most prized possession, and I'm not exaggerating. I've done a couple modifications to it since owning it, like putting a Bluetooth receiver on one of the tape inputs so I can stream my phone to it. I've added a cooling fan to the back of it because it has a tube amp and it runs really, really hot. And besides providing entertainment and enjoyment to me, it keeps the neighbors away, and I like to think I help keep the property values down around here.
Well, that's interesting to know. Onkyo is certainly one of the good higher-end brands without costing millions of dollars. In fact, many cases it's cheaper than Sony, because Sony, as you know, does a little price fixing, and it's hard to find sales on those products. Now, that was back when they came out in the 70s and 80s. But I would think even nowadays, $10 for an Onkyo receiver, rather high-end one like the one you showed me the photo of, which you own, is quite the deal. And nothing really beats the old-fashioned sound. Do you listen to the local over-the-air radio stations there in Lewiston? Is radio kind of like it is here in Ohio? It's not quite like it used to be, so that's why you listen mainly to internet-type stations like ours. And of course, we're the best. But I don't mind listening to a local station the old-fashioned way.
Yes, there's a couple good local stations out here. Like, we have a couple really good classic rock stations. So if I'm sitting at my work desk working on a radio or something with my 3D printer, I'll put on the Onkyo behind me at a kind of low volume on the classic rock station just so I have some background noise so I'm not going totally insane from the silence. But for the most part, I have it on that tape input that's hooked up to that Bluetooth receiver, and I'll just stream my phone to it because this thing gets loud enough to cover the whole house, and it's down in the basement.
That's quite creative, so to speak. Well, I forgot to ask a nosy question. Not really that nosy, because I could just check Facebook. What kind of work does your dad do? Did he get was it in a different field that he went to when he migrated from Columbus to Idaho, or did he get a transfer? Let me know a little more about that if you can, because that's kind of intriguing also, because you probably don't meet a lot of people who transfer for a job from Central Ohio to Western Idaho.
So he works in Columbus. He was the maintenance manager at a flour mill, and now he's the maintenance manager at a seed plant where they load and sort garbanzo beans. So same job, different location, pretty much.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I would imagine, not a lot of people would transfer for a job from Central Ohio to Western Idaho, but never hurts to get a bit of a change in environment and atmosphere, and you certainly learn more.
Yeah.
Whereas you're still doing a similar kind of work, and you enjoyed you enjoyed the move also. So it definitely was a multiple win-win kind of a situation. Before we get to the obligatory controversial topic, Calvin, go ahead and you're welcome to bring up a topic or ask me a question. Maybe ask Adam a question if you want, and let's see if we can have some more stimulating radio for our listeners.
All right. So what got you interested in radio? Because I know you said you've been in radio since the 80s, correct?
Yes, I'd better talk fast or I'll be on until Scott's next program in the morning. As a boy, I loved listening to the radio. Now, granted, that was in the 70s, where the music I listen to now is oldies, everything from Stevie Wonder to Aerosmith to the Three Dog Night to the Carpenters to Kenny Rogers, some of the many artists that I like. I like a variety of music, as long as it's from between late 60s to mid to late 80s. I would pretend that I was a DJ. I would interview my sister in the car sometimes. I would use a comb as a microphone. That was one of the things I would do. And I just pretend that I was a DJ. I loved radio. I thought I had a decent voice, even though I was, of course, a boy at that time. My voice wasn't quite as fabulous as it is now. And again, there was no Sirius. There was no internet radio, obviously. WNCI in Columbus, when we lived in Columbus, was my main station. And again, being a top 40 station, top 40 in 75, 76 was the kind of stuff I listen to now. A lot of disco, but I like the rock and I like the R&B. I like the country crossover. So much of it was something that was to my liking. You know, my parents liked a lot of the same music. My mom loved Bobby Darin and Barry Manilow and Frank Sinatra. Even the Glenn Miller Orchestra, Ray Conniff singers. So they liked a variety of music, including a lot of the stuff that I like. My dad got into a lot of 80s music when that came out. So similar to what my parents would have liked, and some of my own interests certainly contributing to that liking. And I thought, well, when I go to college, whatever I choose to major in, I want to work at the college radio station, radio possibly being a career. My mom was a journalism major. In fact, she went to Temple University, same school as Bill Cosby, who's been on twice, of course, with Scott. Went to school also with David Brenner. She knew David Brenner. He was actually the manager of the radio station at Temple University when she was there. So little tidbit there. And she never worked directly in journalism. She was an office manager most of her jobs, but certainly had a knowledge of the field and would tell me journalism is not a high-paying field, but it certainly is rewarding. It's also very, very competitive. So I'm thinking radio would be a great hobby for me. And when I went to college, I joined the college radio station. That would have been in early 1981. Now, don't try to guess my age, because I was ahead by a bit when I went to college, so I'm not quite as old as my college entrance year would say, so just an aside for you fine folks. So anyway, I joined the college station. It was a mixture of current album-oriented rock along with classic rock or oldies rock. Now, granted, that was in 1981, so they weren't quite the oldies that we have now, but Led Zeppelin, obviously, was one of the bands that was played a lot. Peter Frampton's live album, Do You Feel Like We Do, was certainly a regularly played song. And softer rock like Hall & Oates or Paul McCartney, we could play that also. And some of the new wave that was coming out, as long as it really wasn't disco. It was an upbeat top 40 up to classic rock with some obscure music played. So I worked at that station. I would help sometimes with the music and doing the logs. So I did that while I was taking chemistry and got my MS degree. And then when I left college, which was all up in northern New York, I worked at a radio station, WIGS, or WIGS, in Gouverneur, New York, which is between Syracuse, New York, and Ottawa, Ontario. And the same ownership group, which actually used to work at the station at my college, they transferred me to the station in Tupper Lake, WTPL, or actually had a better job. They had some financial issues, so it was easier to move me around. So I stayed there, and then I left because I was kind of tired of it. The money wasn't very good, and a few other things, and I moved back to Columbus. And I was out of radio. I did work in telemarketing for many years, and I would say that telemarketing and radio are similar. You get paid to talk, but it pays a lot better, and it's much more stable. Obviously, things have changed a bit with the internet, et cetera, since the late 80s and 90s when I worked in telemarketing. But there certainly are still jobs that are not radio-oriented where you are paid to talk. And then that's fast forward to about 12 years ago. I advertised my business on several stations and then kind of got back into radio from there. And then I hooked up with WGH Talk Radio, probably 8 years ago. And it's all history from there. So that pretty much is Adam's life story, including radio and a few other tidbits. As you know, Calvin, I'm not known for being concise, but that was actually pretty good for me. I think I pretty much covered the entire time span. Not bad at all, Adam. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I agree.
Did you have any more questions for me, or did you want to bring another topic up?
So no more questions at the moment, but I will say on the topic of college radio, I listen to it a good bit myself. We don't have any college radio stations close enough out here for me to pick up, but when I lived in Columbus, I spent a good amount of time listening to WOSU. And when I'd be up in Cleveland seeing family up there, there was a college radio station up there. I believe it's WCSB, and I spent a good amount of time listening to that one as well. And from out here, I'll still listen to their online simulcast from time to time as well.
Yeah, college stations are unique. It's one of the coolest hobbies and extracurricular activities. How did I say that without stumbling? That's a hard word. Extracurricular activities that you can partake of in college. And if college students are listening, people considering going to college, do get involved in journalism. I was involved in the Humor magazine also. I'm not sure if they still have college newspapers. I'm not sure if anybody reads the newspaper. The Marion newspaper is now going to postal delivery for subscribers. So that's all pretty much, it's all a lot changed in the 40 years since this series of events took place. But there still are college radio stations, and I do encourage folks to get involved in them. Even if you're not looking to go into radio or something related to talking for a living or journalism, you really can learn a lot. And you can be creative, and creativity is great in all fields, even the science field that I was in. Any job you have, you need to be creative and think outside the box. So that experience is something that I think is quite valued, and I'm glad that I partook thereof.
Do you ever ponder? Do you ever wonder? Do you ever question? Did my server serve me? Your computer will print. Should you call the president? What in the world are you gonna do? Call Adam, the computer guy. Call Adam. Don't know the reason why. Do you find it a waste of time? Because you cannot hear online. Call Adam. Go online at thecomputerguy.com. There's a click of the mouse.
So, Calvin Williams from Idaho. We have about 12 minutes left in our program. Adam, the computer guy, here on The Talking Place, WGH Talk Radio. Again, borrowing Calvin, you might have noticed on my promo that he has a date stamp. Return to the Scott Spears program within 14 days, or you'll get a 10-cent fine, 10-cent a day fine, like we used to do at the old public library. As I mentioned, Calvin, there are two controversial, very juicy topics that we can talk about. We'll save the other one for the next program. And again, they are A, transgender women playing women's sports, and B, anything related to COVID. So which one do you want to talk about today? I'll let you choose, and then you and I will talk.
Let's do COVID, because I definitely have more to say about that.
Okay, COVID it is. I'll take COVID for $500. And here's the answer. Now, I think the main answer, Calvin, is that this is the biggest scam in my lifetime. Now, my lifetime is, my goodness, almost three times as long as your lifetime. I'm not saying COVID doesn't exist, that it's not a disease that has caused many people to become very ill or worse, but it is not presented in the proper manner. The mitigation methods are a complete scam and also they're very dangerous. Had a friend of mine, Lucas Wall, on multiple times. He has filed lawsuits against governmental entities regarding mask mandates. And although we don't agree on some other things about COVID, like the vaccine, we do agree that masks not only don't work, or at least work in a negligible manner, they're also harmful. They're harmful mentally, and they're harmful physically. You can't breathe as well with a mask on. Mentally, especially someone like myself with a lot of a nervous energy, a bit of an OC type of personality, they do not contribute to my already lacking people skills. They're also an ADA violation. Everybody reads lips a little bit, but if you are deaf or in some other way read lips, you can't do that if someone's wearing a mask. So I don't understand why this wasn't so obvious to the White House and other places. Masks are a tremendous ADA violation. And Calvin, I would imagine what I just said, you agree with me virtually 100%. If you don't, let me know. But why don't you go ahead and put in your own two cents worth about how you feel about COVID?
So I've always been skeptical since day one, and a lot of things have since happened to further reinforce that. So at the very beginning of COVID, I had just graduated high school, and at the time I was working in Grove City at Discount Drug Mart as a cashier. So I was interacting with the general public, and a lot of the customers of Drug Mart are in the older population. So I'm interacting with these people all day, every day, touching everything that they just touched and putting it in bags. And when the product limitations and quotas started going into effect, I would deal with so many pissed off customers and just rude people that it ruined working there for me. So I quit that job and I started working as a detailer at Georgesville Nissan. And I will say, I had to wear a face mask starting out at the Nissan dealership at first, but being a detailer, the amount of crap that would make its way to the inside of the mask while I'm working on the inside of a car would just suggest that there's no way that this mask is protecting me from a virus that I can't even see. And then on top of that, I mean, I'm getting in and out of these cars all day who have been driven by God knows who that was carrying or infected with God knows what. And I'm type 1 diabetic, which is autoimmune, so technically I'm immunocompromised. But to this day, I am unvaccinated, and I have never been positive for COVID. Despite the industries I work in, statistically, I should be long dead, but I'm still here. So the final thing that made me skeptical over COVID, when I started working at the paper mill, on our first day shift of our shift rotation, we'd have to get to work 30 minutes early to sit in a test line to take a COVID test before we were allowed on plant. And at that time, if you tested positive for COVID, you would get a week off fully paid. And then we didn't have a whole lot of people that were testing positive. Eventually, they announced that they were going to quit the paid sick leave if you tested positive for COVID. And as soon as a positive COVID test meant unpaid time off, suddenly everybody seemed to be testing positive.
Well, isn't that fascinating? Put two and two together.
Yeah, it seems oddly
folks.
Convenient, doesn't it?
I would say, now, let me just reiterate, Calvin, and be a little more succinct. That's not one of my strong points, but that's Adam for you. COVID exists, but it's in that realm, or even spectrum, that's kind of the N-word right now, of the cold, flu, even a light case of pneumonia. It is, and again, how serious it is depends upon your overall health, your age, etc. You are a young man. Young men tend not to get the kind of conditions that a middle-aged or older person would, but you do have diabetes, which does affect your ability to fight off disease. But other than that, you're very healthy. I mean, you're working a job requiring physical labor, so you definitely make sure you stay healthy and manage this health issue that you have. Do you agree with that? Like me, that COVID is just in that spectrum of illnesses, like the cold and the flu, and calling it a global pandemic. And beyond that, because I mean, we have different kinds of the bird flu and the swine flu. I mean, we've had so many of those, but we didn't hear the mask requirements, people panicking, the vaccine they rushed to get. You kind of see COVID in that spectrum of diseases, and calling it one of the biggest global pandemics ever, and requiring that people follow these so-called mitigation techniques, that just is a tremendous scam. Are we kind of on the same page with that, or anything you want to add, or do you not agree with me?
So I agree with you. The whole thing seems like a scam. I will say part of why it's, as many feel, including us, why it's blown as far out of proportion as it is, was because when COVID first came out, when it was first a new thing, nobody knew exactly what it was or where it came from, so there was that whole freak out there. And then that freak out has just remained ever since. Even though we have plenty of proof now that it's really not as big of an issue as it's made out to be. Right. People are still stuck in that state of mind that it's a huge issue.
Yeah, I mean, ironically, Calvin, those who know me know I'm always washing my hands. I'm always concerned about catching germs and other things from people, surfaces, etc. So you would think that I would be really, really careful about this. And when COVID first came out, I was concerned. I remember if I met with a client, I would kind of ask about health and about something that might be an issue, something I could catch. And then I looked at it further, and I saw that they were pulling the wool over our eyes. I've studied a lot of surface science and particle science. That's a great deal of what I majored in college. And although none of this is brain surgery, I certainly know more than a little bit. I know quite a bit about that. And masks are not a way to mitigate a virus. That's not what they're designed for. You're indicating to us that you got particles under the mask. And yeah, plus they're also harmful. They're harmful mentally, especially someone like myself who has some mental conditions, I would say, but nothing that's going to prevent me from existing. It's just part of my delicious quirkiness, out of lack of a better way to say it. And again, the ADA violation, that's something that just seems totally obvious to me. And the ability to communicate, because we all read lips, we all read expressions, regardless of how good our hearing might be. Plus, it just looks totally ridiculous. You look like a bunch of sheep. And that's where that sheep thing comes from.
The whole thing I feel was a knee-jerk reaction, because they felt like that was the best solution at the time, and then people have just stuck with that because that's, I guess, all they knew, because they're not capable of thinking for themselves.
Yeah, I'm an independent thinker, as you know, and I'm not saying I'm smarter than people that wear masks. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying it's common sense. And the wool was pulled over our eyes, pun intended, people being sheep. I reluctantly followed the mask mandate the first time when I went to Menards and Costco and some stores that I really like to go to. But I wouldn't wear one in a restaurant. And then when the mask mandate was put back in, I refused to wear one. And I was asked to leave Guitar Center and one restaurant. But other than that, they really don't care. They may look at you with a weird face. Like, I got my car serviced, the guy handed me a mask, I handed it back to him, and made it pretty clear, no mask or no Adam. And they didn't really worry about it. And I even talked about this with multiple employees, some bank employees, saying, you know, the mask is ridiculous, it's so detrimental to your ability to perform your job and interact with people. And they say, I know, but I have to do it. And I understand that if you're at a bank, if you're at the dealership, you wear one. It's just like a dress code. If you don't like the dress code, don't work there. But at least if you're wearing a tie, wearing a name tag, it does show some professionalism and shows that you are part of their team. The mask shows nothing other than the fact that you look absurd and you're not preventing any illness that I want to find myself prevented against. So that's how I feel about masks. And again, folks, if you want to comment, question, suggestion, you agree, disagree, Adam at WWGH1071.com. Well, speaking of my mom, may she rest in peace. She always said, time flies when you're having fun. Of course, Calvin, we had about 10% of the topics we were going to talk about, actually talked about. We didn't get into the vaccine, which we're going to talk about probably on the next show. And we'll talk about the transgender issue because that's always a fun one. Calvin Williams, thank you again for joining us here on the Adam the Computer Guy Radio Extravaganza, mid-morning coffee, tea, or me break. And any parting words for our listeners?
I just want to say once again, thanks for having me on. It was a good time. And yeah, we could definitely go on for hours on end on any topic.
And we'll just save the next indulgences for our next program. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.
Adam Lepp.